They are hearers and doers of your word. And thank you, Lord, we are open to the Holy Spirit for him to speak to us, show us things to come, bring all things to our remembrance. He's our guide. He's our helper, intercessor, standby, one called alongside to help. So we thank you for the help of the Holy Spirit, utterance and boldness, great grace in this place, grace to minister, grace to hear, grace to change. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, we've been talking about what our year. Anybody remember what kind of year it's going to be? Talked about a lot of things, yeah. Every week I got something new. But the overall theme is addition and multiplication. And in Acts 9:31, that's my theme verse. It says this, it says, "Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified." Doesn't that sound good? I like peace. Edified, meaning they were growing, developing, walking in the fear of the Lord, in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, and they were multiplied. And then we mentioned about Dr. Dufresne when we were at a meeting in North Carolina, had ministered to Susie and myself, and then when it ministered to us, ministering to the church, talked about double, even triple. Anybody remember that? Well, as I was kind of still reflecting on these things, the Lord's been kind of showing some more insight about this, and as you pray and seek him, he'll do that. So one of the things that he showed me as far as his increase and multiplication, turn over to John 15. Because I do want double in finances and double in resources and double in assets and all those things. But one of the other things that I really desire, I think what God desires for us, is fruit. Who likes fruit? Well, I'm talking about the kind of fruit, the increase that God gives. And John 15, verse 5 says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit." Anybody here in Jesus? He's the vine. We are the branches. You know, we talk here at Good News Church about, well, I mean, it's really Jesus and the Holy Spirit. But we talk about the ministry here being a trunk. I mean, a tree. It's a big trunk. Big fat trunk. But it's a tree, and it's got a trunk, and it's got these, and the tree is getting bigger, it's growing. But it's got limbs and branches, and the fruit is born on the branches, the limbs, on the outside. It's not on the trunk. It's not on the vine. And so the fruit that God's going to bear in the earth today, he's not going to do it. It's going to come through his body. It's going to come through his church. It's going to come through us. I like John 15, 16. It says this, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." Isn't that good? "I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. And that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you." So not only does he want us to bear fruit, but he wants us to bear fruit that remains. And so this year of addition and multiplication, that's my heart's desire. And by fruit, I mean people coming to God. I mean people being filled with the Holy Spirit, people being healed, people being delivered, any kind of bondage in their life being set free. And also, which is a big desire here, is the disciples are raised up, that people are growing. So if we're talking about double, I want to see double salvations, double ministry. I want to see twice as many disciples here. I want to see addition and multiplication of those getting saved and those growing in the things of God. See, because what happens, I mean, in a nutshell, our vision is here is for someone to come into the church, hear God's word, and have that word so change them in every area of their lives that it bears fruit in their lives, but then they in turn take that and take that gospel and go share it with someone else and start being bearing fruit for the kingdom. So it starts off receiving. I mean, for all of us, when we were born again, it starts off receiving. That's part of it. But then receiving and coming to a place where you start giving. And so in our year of addition and multiplication, and God wants this for us. He's called us to do it. He made us to bear much fruit, but then fruit that remains. I don't want fly-by-night Christians here. I want people that are going to be serving Jesus faithfully 1 year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 100 years from now. People that have strong roots that are growing and developing, that are going to follow Jesus no matter what the situation, no matter what the circumstances, following Him. I like what the Message Bible says that about the fruit that remains. It says, fruit that won't spoil. You ever seen spoiled fruit? It's not pretty, is it? But fruit that's not spoiled. So in thinking about this, addition, multiplication, fruit, bearing fruit, fruit that remains, I was reading this passage of Scripture this week in Matthew 25. Please turn there. It's interesting how you read different passages and you could read them 100 times and get 100 different revelations. That's just the power of the Word of God, just the layers upon layers of revelation and light and truth. But Matthew 25, and I don't have it on PowerPoint, so just listen if you don't have your Bible. There's a Bible most likely in the pew, back of the pew in front of you. You can look on with your neighbor. But I want to read pretty long passage here. Matthew 25, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven, talking about how God operates, the way His kingdom operates. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, and another 2, and to another 1, and to each according to his own ability, and he immediately went on a journey. Then he who received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug it in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, look, you have delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. So he had 5 talents. While the master was gone, took those 5 talents, turned it into 10. The master was very pleased. And the same thing happened to the one that he gave 2. He took the 2 talents while the master was gone. He bore fruit. Increase. Fruit is increase. Took those 2 talents and ended up with 4. Now, isn't that interesting? That's a double. Isn't that interesting? That's double. And in fact, the one that had 5, and we'll go on and read this in just a moment, but the one that had five not only doubled, but he also got the 1 from the guy that had 1. The master took from him and gave it to the one with 5. So you could say that the one with 5 had double and was heading towards triple. So I think there's some revelation in light, I'll read the rest of this maybe next week or as we're going through this series. had five, got 10, added another one, had two. So there was a doubling, there was an increase. And so there's some things for us to grasp here. In fact, he goes on and he says this. You were faithful. Well, he says, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Amplified version says little when it says few, little. So let's read it that way. Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over little things. I will make you ruler over many things. So I was thinking about that, little things. Little things lead to big things. Little decisions lead to big decisions. Little things. So the next 3 weeks or so, rest of this month, I want to talk about little things that lead to double. Little things that lead to addition and multiplication. Little things that lead to bearing fruit for the kingdom. Who's interested in bearing fruit for the kingdom? Who wants fruit that remains? Little things. Not talking about big things, little things. Now, who wants more of what God has? So there's certain characteristics that have to be present in order for us to have addition, multiplication, and double. Now, the first characteristic, and it's found in these verses I just read, is faithfulness. Faithfulness is one of the little things that are necessary for increase. The master called the servant faithful. Proverbs 28:20 says, a faithful man will abound with blessings. I like that. A faithful man, a faithful woman will abound with blessings. Not just blessings. Blessings are good. But abounding. Abounding with blessings. So let's define a few words here. Let's define faithful and let's define unfaithful. And really in the definitions of these two words, it's so clear really what it means. It really could stop the message at this point because I think you would get it. But the word faithful, it's defined as reliable, loyal, steadfast, devoted, trustworthy, dependable, dedicated, constant, unwavering. So, what the master was saying to the servant, he said, you're reliable, you're loyal, you're dependable. I can count on you. Even though I was gone, I can trust you. And again, this is how God's kingdom operates. And so while I'm gone, and it's interesting that Jesus left. But he left, but we're still all accountable. And there was an account in this story, and there'll be an account for us. So it does matter what we do. It does matter how we conduct ourselves. But so this is a faithful person. This is a faithful person is someone that's going to have increase. A faithful person is someone that's going to bear fruit. A faithful person, I believe, will have fruit that remains. Now, an unfaithful person is someone that's untrustworthy. Not worthy of confidence, lazy, uncommitted, undependable, unreliable, and unstable. Have you known an unfaithful person? It seems like the unfaithful person gets a lot more attention. It seems like when the unfaithful person finally messes up big time, because little things lead to big things, everybody knows about it. And you know, for the faithful person, there is rewards, and I think there are where people will know about certain things, but people don't always know. They don't necessarily see it. But God sees. God knows our heart. Faithful or unfaithful. Proverbs 25:19 says, confidence in an unfaithful man in a time of trouble is like a bad tooth and a foot out of joint. Anybody here got a hurting tooth? Man, it just aches. It'll keep you up at night. It's just a constant annoyance. And so, as a leader, you're looking for faithful people. I like what James Robinson, the former head of American Express, said this. He said, I'm looking for loyal people more so than leaders. That if I can find a loyal person, I can turn that person into something. Harry S. Truman, I don't know if you remember the story. I was a history major, one of my many majors was history. Harry S. Truman fired General Douglas MacArthur. Pretty big deal. And Douglas MacArthur, a great general, a lot of accolades, and did great things in World War II and in other things before then. But he was fired by Truman, and it wasn't over any kind of personality issue. It wasn't over some kind of mistake. He fired him because he lost respect for the office of the presidency. Isn't that something? Someone as talented as General MacArthur was fired. And he was fired because he lost respect for the office, meaning he was no longer in his heart loyal to his commander. So this is important. These are little things. And as a leader, we're looking for faithful people. Yeah, thank God for talent. I mean, we like talent, but we like faithfulness better. And did you notice the servant that had two talents got the same reward of double as the one with five talents? Yeah, there are people that have more gifts. But both servants were faithful and received this, in essence, the same reward. They both got double. I want to read something. It's called a relational paraphrase. It's by Ben Campbell Johnson. He has one on Matthew and Mark and one called The Heart of Paul. And I want to read this from Matthew 24, and that the title of this section is The Faithful Will Be Rewarded. It says, you may be wondering just who will be recognized as trusted and favored servant of Christ, one who will receive his reward at the appropriate time. Consider the analogy of employer and employee. How fulfilling it is to an employer to have an employee do what is supposed to be he's supposed to do without constant supervision. You know that an employer will elevate such an employee to a management position because he can be trusted. So faithfulness leads to promotion. Faithfulness leads to increase. One translation from Matthew 25, where it says, enter into the joy of the Lord, says, enter into partnership with me. God's looking for people that he can trust. But he's not just going to pour out all his blessings, all his authority, all his power on someone that's not trustworthy. And so just like any good leader would do, you know, it talks in the scriptures about don't put someone in leadership who's a novice. People must be tested. And it doesn't have to be some kind of weird or wacky kind of thing where it's going to hurt or damage someone, you know. You can go too far in our tests. But over the course of working with someone, there's little things that happen that you, and you got to pay attention, especially as a leader. You have to pay attention to the little things. Because faithfulness is not how it's not how someone does when you're there watching them. I'm not faithful because I'm up here preaching a message from the Bible. That doesn't make me faithful. Faithfulness comes when you don't see. Faithful is how you are. Faithful isn't, you know, what we all see here. Faithful is how you really are when you're by yourself and no one else is watching. And that's what these passage was talking about the manager, the employer. It doesn't have to be constantly looking over your shoulder to make sure you're doing your work. That whether he or she is there, you're going to perform the same. And so, you know, we say we want double. That just sounds great. I mean, all of us, I mean, even the world wants increase. The world wants to prosper. I mean, have you watched TV lately? Have you seen The Apprentice show with Donald Trump? I mean, everybody wants more. Now, that is an interesting show because you really see how the world operates when you watch that show. I mean, talk about unfaithful people. These people will talk pretty to your face and they'll cut you down behind your back. It's a very interesting program. And that, I mean, I wish we could do some kind of documentary with different people here at the church. Let's do our own thing. Well, I don't know. We'll call it the Apprentice. Good News Church. Instead of the L.A. version, we'll have Apprentice Augusta. Who's going to sign up? I mean, wouldn't that be interesting if we started pitting people in the church against each other? That's what Satan wants us to do. That's what Satan wants to happen. I mean, most strong organizations, they aren't stopped from the outside. They're stopped from the inside. And so the enemy, he's conniving. He's working with people's minds. Little seeds, little thoughts. On the other hand, suppose an employee begins to imagine, my employer is nowhere in sight, so I don't have to concern myself with him. Out of sight, out of mind. Suppose also that this irresponsible employee creates confusion and strife with his fellow employees, stays out of work, develops a number of self-destructive habits. The employer will show up just when the employee is least expecting it. And when he has no idea of his appearance, and he will fire that employee, giving him a very low evaluation to anyone who asks. It will be obvious to anyone in the labor market that he is unworthy of a job. Consider what unhappiness and loss and suffering this will bring him. Little things. Faithfulness to God. Faithfulness to God, faithful to our mates, faithful to our families, faithful to our co-workers, faithful to our classmates, faithful to our team members, faithful to our church family. And again, faithfulness is a series of little choices and decisions that we make. Proverbs 13:11, the last part of this verse says, "He who gathers little by little will increase." See, that's God's way. God's way is steady. Now, that little can get to be a large number, but it's step by step. Little decisions. You notice how faith is developed by a seed. Seeds planted produce faith. So unfaithfulness, where does it start? Is it something that just all of a sudden, you know, a husband just decides one day, I'm going to be unfaithful to my mate? Is that how it happens? I'm going to be unfaithful on my job. I'm going to be unfaithful. Is it just all of a sudden just happens? No, it starts with a thought. It starts by dabbling in things that we ought not to dabble in. You start thinking, well, it's okay to slack off. No one's noticing. You know, where would they be without me? I am such a valuable employee. I'm so good. I bring in so much money to this corporation. Where would they be without me? So it's just little thoughts. You know, I work hard for the company. You know, they really ought to take better care of me. And what does this kind of thing lead to? Well, you know, better take care of me. And so then you start thinking, well, there's certain perks that they haven't authorized that I had. But, you know, because I'm so valuable, I'm just going to start taking them. And you rationalize it and you know, all the different things. But your rationalization, really what you're doing is you're stealing. And Satan has deceived you into thinking that you're entitled to something that you're not authorized to have, and in my Bible, is stealing. And so, stealing is a seed. And you may not get caught the first time, but I tell you, the Bible says there's nothing hidden that won't be revealed. And so if you're sitting here thinking, well, I'm getting away with this, you're not, because accountability is coming your way. And Satan likes to lead you. He likes to lead you into little things and then snare you when it comes to the big things. Satan can have your mind so messed up, I mean, you start thinking that sin is right. Sin is right. Unforgiveness is right. Hurting people is right. Laziness is right. You know, and you know, there's a lot of good people that, you know, good people that fall from positions and leaders and different things. And I'm sure in their mind that they rationalize, you know, they think they're doing the right thing. Are you enjoying this today? Awfully quiet out there. Am I talking to someone else today? Pastor's not talking to me today. We're just rationalizing it out. It's for my neighbor. Everybody point to the neighbor, your neighbor, and say, this message is for you today. It's not for me. What are some signs of unfaithfulness? Are there signs? Are there indicators? Is there things that we could see and, you know, if we followed someone around that was unfaithful, untrustworthy, are there certain things we could follow and see in that person's life, certain kind of common characteristics? What kind of things open the door to unfaithfulness? Again, it just doesn't happen. It's a series, it's a process. So I have 9 things that I came up with.
Only 9.
And so if you're sitting here today and you said, Pastor, you missed one of the biggest ones, write that down for me so I could preach it next week. You may not want to write it down because it may be, no. But email me, put it in my box there in the admin office. I just, you know, it's not an exhaustive list, but I've got at least 9. Y'all want to hear these? The first thing that opens the door to unfaithfulness, little things, is when you stop growing and learning. You stagnate, living on old ideas, old revelations, living in the past. Things are changing, and you're not moving with it. And when you stop growing or learning, you get sloppy. You get careless, you get weak. And when you get weak, it opens the door for the enemy. Thoughts that you used to have, you could just cast down, you're starting to entertain. Again, in the devil, he is just constantly working on your mind. Have you ever had that feeling about you're being bombarded? Just sometimes thoughts just come on you, man. It's like try to get a hold of you. See, if you're weak, though, things you might have been able to cast down years ago, suddenly you're entertaining and you're like going over it now. And the enemy's trying to get a stronghold. He's trying to get in there and do his stuff. And because you can't follow him unless you're in agreement. So he's trying to get you to believe it. Believe it, the whole faith process. Believe it, confess it, act on it. Second thing, oh, this is a good one, when you're bored. How many know that your young people, a lot of times, you know, we need to keep them active. Because when they get bored, they can get in trouble. But you know that we can all get bored. Oh, bored hearing about faith, bored hearing about righteousness, bored hearing about our authority. Boy, this newfangled thing I'm hearing about, man, sounds really good. Oh, and the guy says that he doesn't have it in the Word of God, but, you know, that's okay. I mean, what does that matter? It's just powerful. Well, when I hear something like that, when it's not in the Word of God, this little flag, this little thing goes up in the back of my head. Doot, 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 doot. Woo, 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 woo. We call that our antenna. Our antenna is going crazy. But when you get bored, now don't raise your hand on this question. Have you ever gotten bored in your marriage? When you're bored on your marriage is not the time to go to the club and hang out. When you're bored with your marriage, it's not the time to hang around with all your single friends. And when you're bored with your marriage, talk about a guy now, it's not the, you know, well, maybe a woman too, it's not the time to go hang out at the topless beach. When you're strong. No, there's never a right time for that, but it sounded really good. The third one, I got to move here. The third one, y'all distracted me here with all this stuff going on. There's a funny story here, but I can't tell it today. Okay. The third one, avoiding accountability. Avoiding accountability. Well, we don't need to answer to anyone. Avoiding accountability, and you have a hard time with correction. Now, I don't like getting corrected. Does anybody here like getting corrected? If you like being corrected, you're weird. There's something, we need to analyze you about that. But there are times, for all of us, when the correction is needed. But then when you're corrected, you got all the excuses and all the defenses going up and, just not listening and, coming back at the person that's doing the correcting. I mean, none of us want accountability. But accountability is important. Accountability to keep you out of trouble. Accountability will protect you. So when there's, and when we talk about situations with child molestation, one of the things that we've learned is some of the molested child likes to do it, obviously, in secret, likes to do it in a place where there's not strong security or accountability. They want lack of accountability. Fourth one is unwillingness to change. My way or the highway. Unwillingness to change. It's no longer about the good of the team. It's about me. It's about my interests, what I want, me doing better. And it's no longer about the team. Again, these are open doors to unfaithfulness. Infallibility. You've had some successes. You start thinking every decision that I make is right. And you start, justifying yourself and justifying decisions. And people confront you about something and you say, I've had success after success. I'm not going to listen to that. I'm going to do it the way I want to do it. Start thinking you're infallible. Number six, pride. Pride is overestimation of oneself. Pride comes before destruction. Haughty spirit before the fall. You just start thinking, too highly of yourself. And it opens the door for the enemy. Opens the door for dumb decisions. Number seven, personal life out of control. Looking over the qualifications for ministry, Timothy and Titus, all about personal life. All about the personal life. Marriage, family, kids, how you run your household, how you handle your money, how you handle alcohol. All these things. So if your personal life is in chaos, open door for bigger things. You're not paying attention at home. You need to pay attention. Number eight, bad attitude. A bad attitude is when you're focused on the wrong things. A bad attitude is when you're focused on the things the enemy wants you to be focused on rather than the things that God wants you to be focused on. And again, we may all have a bad attitude one day, but when you continually have a bad attitude, problems are on the way. You got a bullseye on you for the enemy. And number nine, last one, and if you've got others, and I could take some time to go through all these, but number nine is setting your own standards. And you start setting standards that are different from your leader. or are out of line with your leader and think, well, I can just do this. I can just do it my way. Who's going to notice? But when you start setting your own standards, that's rebellion. And rebellion is not something that leads to promotion. All right, let me say this. Unfaithfulness will eventually end up costing you the person or thing that you're unfaithful to. Unfaithfulness will eventually end up costing you the person or thing you are unfaithful to. Unfaithful on your job, it'll cost you your job. Unfaithful in your marriage, it'll cost you your marriage. Unfaithful to your kids, it will cost you your kids. Unfaithful to God, it'll cost you all that He has, all His blessings. And so we need to, you know, the scriptures talk about examining yourself. We need to look at ourselves. And see, sometimes it might be the best thing to do is have someone else do the examining. Isn't it interesting that few of us are qualified to be our own doctors? So we go somewhere else and we have them examine us. But I think it's probably good, you know, in this time of talking about double, in addition, and multiplication, I think it's a good time to do some reflection. And if you want to talk to somebody, it might be a good thing. They call that a review in the job market. And see if you're getting off track. Look at the little things. What do you really like when no one else is around? Now, God will forgive you for mistakes, but people won't necessarily always forgive you. Whatever you do, I mean, God, there's forgiveness for it. But the hard thing is people won't always forgive. But if you've been unfaithful, there's restoration from it. I'm talking about now in God's kingdom. I'm not talking about maybe someone else's kingdom. But in God's kingdom, if you've been unfaithful, there's forgiveness, there's restoration, and you can get back little by little back into a place of promotion. But I tell you what, I'm looking at things like in our staff and the way we do things at church. I'm not going to put someone in leadership that's not faithful. I'm not going to have someone that's leading our kids or leading our youth or doing ministry in this church that, I mean, I can't count on. If I can't trust you, I can't count on you, you're not qualified. And you know, but in our minds, we again, pride, overestimation. So many times, you know, we judge others by their actions and we judge ourselves by our good intentions. You heard that before? Our good intentions. Well, I had good intentions. Well, it's interesting that the master came back and he wanted to see fruit. And so it is a time. It's a time of reflection. Is there any fruit being born in our lives? Those gifts that you have from God, are they being developed? Are they being used for the glory of God? It's interesting with a gift, and it's just like the man with that had one talent. If you don't use the gift, you lose it. You don't use the gift, you lose it. You know, anybody here been used to be good at some sport? We're going to see a whole bunch of them today at March Madness. They've lost the gift. And I hope they're not on my team. I need to examine myself because I may be the one I'm talking about right here. But the one with one talent, he lost it, and then it was given to the one that had five, and then now it's 10. Because they used and developed their gift, they were faithful to God, used it for the glory of God, and God added to that, because it just makes sense. The one that's developing their gifts, using their gifts for the glory of God, is going to be someone that's going to bear more fruit. It's 1204. 104, old time. Oh, 1104. I'm getting this mixed up. Thank you for correcting me. I receive it. I crave your corrections. That was a lie. Forgive me, Lord. Told a lie on the platform. You can stand. Father, dear Lord, help us. Father, my heart's desire for this ministry is that we be found faithful. That we utilize the gifts that you've been given us for your glory and for your honor, and so that we may bear fruit and fruit that remains. Father, open up our eyes as we kind of pay more attention to what's going on. That we see the little things that are happening, Father. If there's things that we're missing, let us be able to see, Lord. If there's corrections that need to be made, let us make the correction boldly, Father, and not be afraid. Not be afraid of man, but to be bold. That we speak the truth in love. So we thank you for that, Father. And Father, I thank you today that there is forgiveness. If someone has been unfaithful and they've missed it, that there is forgiveness and restoration. And I thank you for that forgiveness right now in the name of Jesus. And then, Father, for the restoration process to begin, that little by little they get back in place that they need to be. Thank you that you surround them with laborers, surround them with love, and help, the help that they need. Father, I don't want to build this house in vain here. So thank you, Father, for a strong foundation that we can build this house of this ministry. We give you praise, we give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Be seated just for a moment. Hallelujah. Just want to give everybody opportunity to